we bring you the Living Book Broadcast, the old, old message in modern language. We begin our reading from Esther chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai learned what had been done, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city crying with a loud and bitter wail. Then he stood beside the gate of the palace, for no one was permitted to enter in mourning clothes. And throughout all the provinces there was great mourning among the Jews, fasting, weeping, and despair at the king's decree. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed and sent clothing to him to replace the sackcloth, but he refused it. Then Esther sent for Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs who had been appointed as her attendant, and told him to go out to Mordecai and find out what the trouble was and why he was acting like that. So Hatak went out to the city square and found Mordecai just outside the palace gates and heard the whole story from him and about the $20 million Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave Hatak a copy of the king's decree dooming all Jews and told him to show it to Esther and to tell her what was happening, and that she should go to the king to plead for her people. So Hatak returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Esther told Hatak to go back and say to Mordecai, "All the world knows that anyone, whether man or woman, who goes into the king's inner court without his summons is doomed to die unless the king holds out his golden scepter. And the king has not called for me to come to him in more than a month." So Hatak gave Esther's message to Mordecai. This was Mordecai's reply to Esther. "Do you think you will escape there in the palace when all other Jews are killed? If you keep quiet at a time like this, God will deliver the Jews from some other source, but you and your relatives will die. What's more, who can say but that God has brought you into the palace for just such a time as this?" Then Esther said to tell Mordecai, "Go and gather together all the Jews of Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maidens will do the same. And then, though it is strictly forbidden, I will go in to see the king. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai did as Esther told him to. 3 days later, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court just beyond the royal hall of the palace, where the king was sitting upon his royal throne. And when he saw Queen Esther standing there in the inner court, he welcomed her, holding out the golden scepter to her. So Esther approached and touched its tip. Then the king asked her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom." And Esther replied, "If it please your majesty, I want you and Haman to come to a banquet I have prepared for you today." The king turned to his aides. "Tell Haman to hurry," he said. So the king and Haman came to Esther's banquet. During the wine course, the king said to Esther, "Now tell me what you really want, and I will give it to you, even if it is half of the kingdom." Esther replied, "My request, my deepest wish, is that if your majesty loves me and wants to grant my request, that you come again with Haman tomorrow to the banquet. I shall prepare for you, and tomorrow I will explain what this is all about." What a happy man was Haman as he left the banquet. But when he saw Mordecai there at the gate, not standing up or trembling before him, he was furious. However, he restrained himself and went on home and gathered together his friends and Zeresh his wife, and boasted to them about his wealth and his many children and promotions the king had given him, and how he had become the greatest man in the kingdom, next to the king himself. Then he delivered his final punchline. "Yes, and Esther the queen invited only me and the king himself to the banquet she prepared for us, and tomorrow we are invited again." But yet, he added, "all this is nothing when I see Mordecai the Jew just sitting there in front of the king's gate, refusing to bow to me." "Well," suggested Zeresh his wife and all his friends, "get ready a 75-foot-high gallows, and in the morning ask the king to let you hang Mordecai on it. And when this is done, you can go on your merry way with the king to the banquet." This pleased Haman immensely, and he ordered the gallows built. That night, the king had trouble sleeping and decided to read for a while. He ordered the historical records of his kingdom from the library, and in them he came across the item telling how Mordecai had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, watchmen at the palace gates, who had plotted to assassinate him. "What reward did we ever give Mordecai for this?" the king asked. And his courtiers replied, "Nothing." "Who is on duty in the outer court?" the king inquired. Now, as it happened, Haman had just arrived in the outer court of the palace to ask the king to hang Mordecai from the gallows he was building. So the courtiers replied to the king, "Haman is out there." "Bring him in," the king ordered. So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What shall I do to honor a man who truly pleases me?" Haman thought to himself, "Who would he want to honor more than me?" So he replied, "Bring out some of the royal robes the king himself has worn, and the king's own horse, and the royal crown, and instruct one of the king's most noble princes to robe the man, and to lead him through the streets on the king's own horse, shouting before him, 'This is the way the king honors those who truly please him.'" "Excellent," the king said to Haman. "Hurry and take these robes and my horse, and do just as you have said to Mordecai the Jew, who works at the chancellery. Follow every detail you have suggested." So Haman took the robes and put them on Mordecai and mounted him on the king's own steed and led him through the streets of the city, shouting, "This is the way the king honors those he delights in." Afterwards, Mordecai returned to his job, but Haman hurried home utterly humiliated. When Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends what had happened, they said, "If Mordecai is a Jew, you will never succeed in your plans against him. To continue to oppose him will be fatal. While they were still discussing it with him, the king's messengers arrived to conduct Haman quickly to the banquet Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman came to Esther's banquet. And again during the wine course, the king asked her, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? What do you wish? Whatever it is, I will give it to you, even if it is half of my kingdom." And at last Queen Esther replied, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it please your majesty, save my life and the lives of my people, for I and my people have been sold to those who will destroy us. We are doomed to destruction and slaughter. If we were only to be sold as slaves, perhaps I could remain quiet. Though even then there would be incalculable damage to the king that no amount of money could begin to cover." "What are you talking about?" King Ahasuerus demanded. "Who would dare touch you?" Esther replied, "This wicked Haman is our enemy." Then Haman grew pale with fright before the king and queen. The king jumped to his feet and went out into the palace garden as Haman stood up to plead for his life to Queen Esther, for he knew that he was doomed. In despair, he fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining just as the king returned from the palace garden. "Will he force the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes?" the king roared. Instantly, the death veil was placed over Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the king's aides, said, "Sir, Haman has just ordered a 75-foot gallows constructed to hang Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination. It stands in Haman's courtyard." "Hang Haman on it," the king ordered. So they did, and the king's wrath was pacified. Reading from the Living Old Testament, a paraphrase. We have read Esther chapters 4 through 7. Now here's a special invitation to join us the next time we come your way with the Living Book Broadcast.